5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Yeah, I got to put on my good sweatpants.
Bingo! Showtime!
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's the Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. For the strong name, go to like the DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is the LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1008 of Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Alan.
Hello, everyone.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
Excellent. So, before the show started, we were brought up Bonsai Buddy, and I was asked, you know, wondering if Bonsai Buddy is still around, and, you know, why would anybody ever use Bonsai Buddy? And I knew somebody who had Bonsai Buddy installed. And it kept getting installed. so it was back when I was working at this company out of Wilkes-Barre that was trying to break in to the Lehigh Valley area. And they opened up an office down there off of Tillman Street. And so, do you know what Tillman AMC Theater is? I think it's AMC, the Tillman 8.
Yeah.
Out there, Alan. Joel doesn't know. And nobody in our audience is going to know either. So it's like right down the road from that, there was a, like an office building back there that it's kind of like an industrial area once you go head out in that direction. Anyway, a services company, and I don't think you see a lot of them anymore. It was kind of like the Apple Store like kind of thing, but it was for all types of computers, and they were more like business oriented. They had contracts with the hospitals and school districts where they would put together white box systems and then support them and then go in and do like networking support. So they did everything from official like HP, Dell, Apple support contracts. So when I was working there, I had to go through a whole bunch of HP and Compaq, and I think Dell also, training. And most of it was just look over this material, and then you have to pass a certification test, and you just like rack up cons, like a whole bunch of different certifications on different hardware. So you'd have a certification on the Compaq Presario series or the IBM servers or whatever, and then there's just Cisco you can get into and do those. Not the official Cisco training, though. You could go ahead and do that, but you had to do that on your own. But it was like more of the reseller support, an official company support. So then companies or people could bring their devices in for warranty. And anyway, they had absolutely no clients down in the Lehigh Valley area, and these two Yahoo salesmen who were supposed to like bring it all in, right? They were going to work the system down there, bring in the contracts, and it was going to be great. And so I ended up sitting there like a lot of time twiddling my thumbs because I have absolutely no work for me to do. And so they had me sometimes doing cold calling, which I do not like. I don't like that at all. So it's basically, I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? And like, well, just start going through the yellow pages on the phone book and calling these companies up and find out, you know, who contacted their IT person who handles their IT, and we'll follow up with them and see if we could land the contract. So I spent a lot of time. This was like back in my early days of Linux.
Making enemies.
I spent a lot of time playing around and installing SUSE Linux. I remember doing that. Like, I had just gotten the box set of SUSE. Oh my goodness, I can't remember what it was. I got it at Walden Books, of all places, in the Lehigh Valley Mall, and I was like stoked by this, excited, because SUSE, if you never got the back in the like late 90s, SUSE used to come in this like beautiful box set with the CDs and this
an actual book.
Yeah, the manual that it came with was like an inch and a half, 2 inches thick, and it was great, and it was, I think, like 4 CDs. So it had like every, and this was the first distribution, I believe, that included the NVIDIA drivers that supported the NVIDIA card that I had, because I had just gotten that video card like that summer before or whatever. And anyway, so this guy comes in and he's like, I saw your ad and I have a computer that I need to get fixed. And so basically I think it was like a really simple thing. Like his hard drive wasn't hooked up properly or there was something weird about it. It was like this really ridiculous thing. So I called him in and I said, you know, it's fixed. I feel really bad about charging you for this. Cause like just walking in the door was like, you're dropping at least $50 on a diagnostic bench fee. It might have even been more than that. And then it's like they would have ended up charging him like $150, $200 for this. And I said, I told him, look, don't ever bring your shit here anymore. This isn't the place for you. So right. I gave him my name. I said, look, I do stuff on the side. You know, simple things like this, give me a call. And so he had Bonsai Buddy on his machine.
Uh-huh.
And I would remove it. And then he called me up like, you know, a couple weeks later and he's like, I got a problem. I come out there and fucking Bonsai Buddy's on there again. You know, and I'm like, this is bad. Don't install this. It's mucking up your machine. You know, clean up his stuff, get things going. And then he's like,
Bonsai Buddy.
Yeah. He calls me out a couple weeks later. He's got, you know, his prayer's not printing. And this was back in the,
parallel port days.
Parallel port. Well, you know, it might have even been USB, getting close to USB, but I'm pretty sure it was parallel port. But the Epson printers were absolutely terrible. The inkjet printers.
Trash. Yeah.
And so HP really wasn't that much better. But the biggest problem that the Epson printers had were they had the print head was
integrated in the machine instead of on the ink cartridges,
right,
like
yes,
HP.
Right, because HP had the print head on the cartridge and Epson didn't. So if you weren't using the Epson like on a regular basis, the ink would just dry up in the print head and you could try cleaning it and it would like blast through your ink like crazy to clean it. Otherwise, you had to like disassemble the printer and get the head out of there and like really like clean the head. And it was not an easy job, but, you know, short of doing that, you might as well just throw the printer in the garbage and get a new one. And at the time, you know, this was before printers went down to like $30, $40, where you could, you know, the printer was less expensive than the print cartridge. But at this time, you were looking at $130, $140 on these printers. So... And if you would have brought it into where I had originally, you would have been easily $200 for the amount of time and work that you would have to put in to clean in this damn thing. And so, you know, I go over there, clean out his print heads and stuff, and Bonsai Buddy's back on there. Yeah, he's like, oh, but it's a great program. It helps me out a lot. I'm like, Bonsai Buddy and Weatherbug. You put Bonsai Buddy together with Weatherbug, and you got the rest.
Weatherbug wasn't that bad. In fact, I actually use the Android app right now because it's got some. Well, I probably don't need it on there. I have to look and see, because I use Radar Scope and I have my radar, and it gets all the same stuff, plus the Google stuff on there integrated has the weather on it too. But, you know, but you are asking, they still exist. The website is still up, but you can't download Bonzai Buddy. That software was discontinued in 2004. But when you go to the link that's on the Wikipedia page, the same guys that started Bonzai Buddy are selling Ponzi NFTs.
More power to them, baby.
Okay.
That's almost like it's like I would get a Bonzai Buddy NFT just for the lulls of it, because it's like this thing was notorious.
Well, use that old Office Assistant stuff that Microsoft had, you know, with Clippy and all that, you know. Well, I'm sorry, his real name was Clippet, but we always called him Clippy, the paperclip.
Yeah.
Yep.
I bet you Alan I remember
when I worked second shift. You know, when I first started, my job was second shift. And, like, with that WeatherBug app, everybody in the fucking company must have installed that, because you'd be, like, totally silent. All of a sudden, you would hear that fucking chirping noise that used to make, like, all over the fucking building. Mm-hmm. Like, God. Because no one ever logged on at that point in time.
Well, the desktop software of WeatherBug, I think, is completely gone now. But, yeah, and it's, you know, I think you can actually pay for the app, I think, like, so you have no ads or something. I don't know, but, you know, of all that crappy spyware-y kind of crap from that time period, WeatherBug was probably the least of anyone's concerns. But Bonzai Buddy, and then those were the days of the pop-up ads for the X10 camera, which that's funny you saying. I don't know, does X10 even work anymore?
Yeah, it still does. It's hard.
Yeah, it's not.
It's like the switches. I had a bunch of switches. Excuse me. I had a bunch of cameras because they came in a kit. I think I only ever used one of them because it was so terrible. I had the programmable one too, but I don't know that you can actually program it anymore.
Well, there's websites still up, but you can still buy that crap.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's still a valid. The problem was that it got replaced with home automation stuff that did two-way communication
and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean,
well, things that actually talk back. The problem was with X10, you know, you could send a command, but you had no way of knowing that it actually got there or did something.
Yep,
that's like a little setup for like Sunday nights for like, you know, X-Files and stuff.
That's an interesting topic. There was a news story, and I don't know if any of you guys saw it. This dude has this whole house, like, you know, completely kitted out with smart home stuff, and several of those, you know, Alexa devices, all right? And apparently somebody thought, I think it was the guy delivering stuff from Amazon to him, thought he called them the N-word. And then all of a sudden his stuff stopped working.
And then he finally
the N word.
Oh,
we have the hard R N word, you know.
Yeah.
So then all of his Amazon stuff stopped working, and apparently, I guess it took him like 12 days to get them to turn everything back on. But the fact that Amazon can just do that on a flip of the switch, that's wild.
Well, I mean, Google has the same ability. She just, you know,
yeah. At least this one.
Unless you're going to controlling stuff on your, you know, out of your own network,
right?
You're pretty much stuck with that, anyways.
Well, yeah, with like what you call it? What's the one? The free one? I can't remember anymore. Well, the Home Assistant, but what is it? Mycroft. That's the speaker thing. That you can do, I think, but I just thought that's wild. Why they would even do that? I mean, did he actually call them? I don't think anybody knows. It's that delivery driver's you know, word against his, and it's like, you know, it, I don't know, but yeah, that's like
what, yeah, but wasn't it like even the speaker that it supposedly came from was not an Amazon speaker? It was some other company.
Might have been the Ring. Well, it could have been the Ring doorbell because Amazon owns Ring now. So
I remember reading it, but I don't remember. I remember something saying something about that. It wasn't, yeah, you know, it wasn't an Amazon type device that responded to him, but it was like an automated response. When he got up there, it just automatically said, "Can I help you?" type thing. I don't remember what it said. Right. Supposedly, it was supposed to say.
Well, there's reason, like, yeah, you know, I use that stuff. You know, I have both of those devices. Kind of, well, you see, that's the one thing I like about the Echo devices is it will tell me when my things, you know, when the deliveries are made. You know, like I'll get a little notification on the screen. I have the Echo Show 5.
Well,
on
yeah,
my desk.
Because you're in the Amazon.
Correct.
At that point.
Yep. So that's one thing I like. I mean, not that I don't get a notification on my phone when deliveries get here, because I do. But it's just nice that, you know, or that where I'll get a notification in the morning. Plus, actually, the other kind of cool thing that they have that I don't think the Google devices have is it will, like, beep and then flash when a severe weather event is happening. So like if you got tornado warning, it'll do that. Then you can ask it, "Hey, what's my notification?" And
oh yeah,
it would tell
mine's,
you.
Yeah, mine's stuck on telling me that it may possibly rain in Old Orchard, which is like 5 miles away. I was like, yeah, that's not helping me really.
Nothing
really
like
care.
That, but see that's got like here I got like
But when I signed up for it, I thought it was for like severe weather.
Right,
it's just constantly like, yeah, it may rain tomorrow. Yeah,
I can sort of figure that out. You can edit it, I think. And I think that's what I did with mine, so it only goes for the sphere. But I have, we do have like a NOAA weather radio. It's in my son's room because I don't want it anywhere else in the house. And he want, you know, I asked him, "Do you want this?" Because I was just gonna get rid of it because it had at least that one has the same alerting, so I can turn it on. I think you can turn on, select your county as long as you know what the same is. So that way it's not going off for every event in KIG 86, which is, that's the call sign for the NOAA, station here in our area, but that covers like all of central Ohio. It's like, do I give a crap if there's a tornado warning in Licking County? Well, you know, only because I know a few people that might live there, but I don't need to be warned about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Franklin County's good enough. That's the county I live in. So, but then of course I do have the ham radios that I can just listen to it. You know, which is all a computer voice now. It used to be pre-recorded stuff, but now it's all text-to-speech. And speaking of ham radio, I did order that UVAIJ MMDVM. Don't know when it'll get here because it's coming the long boat from China.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's actually...
At the very least, if it doesn't work, you're going to get a PIW out of it.
Well, see, that's... I don't know if that's what's inside of it or not. I know that the eBay entry says it runs PiStar, but if you read on into some of the comments and the reviews, it's actually running OSTAR, which is a modification of OpenWRT. So, and I don't know what I don't know if you could switch it. You probably could, is my thinking. But so we'll see what happens with it. It's basically a battery pack, an LCD. A computing device of some sort, and then it's got a radio, and it doesn't. Yeah, one thing I noticed, the entry didn't say. Not that it matters, but the entry didn't necessarily say what band, you know, whether it's 70 centimeters or 2 meters. It's probably 2 meters, though, is my guess. But either way, and what an MMDVM is, for those who aren't ham operators, don't work the digital modes, or don't work the digital modes and are ham operator, is it's like the DVAP stuff that I've talked about before in past shows. But DVAP only does D-Star. This will do D-Star. It does them all, essentially, all the digital voice modes. So it'll be much easier for me to actually travel with DMR when I go on trips and stuff, because, you know, the one thing I found with DMR is even if you wanted to change the code plug for when you're traveling to another city, you don't necessarily have all the documentation for that DMR repeater on what talk groups it has, and or what networks, you know, does it have Brandmeister, does it the free one, you just don't know. So if you had a hotspot, then you just have to configure it to talk to that, and then the hotspot will hop onto either your home Wi-Fi or your mobile phone. And actually, just so happens, my hotspot mode on my phone, I have it set to the same as the 2 gig side of that is set to the same as my 2 gig home network. So I do believe this is only 2 gigahertz as well instead of 5. Been nice if it was had 5 on it, but it's okay. But we'll see how this works. It was like $116, which is probably the best price I've seen on any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap.
Yeah, so even if it doesn't work, at least it's kind of got a battery pack in it.
I was going to say you got parts there.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, and the screen too. But
I'm betting you probably IW in there.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. Well, I've seen people post using it before in some of the ham radio groups on Facebook, but I haven't found too much. There's a couple of YouTube videos, but I haven't found a whole lot on it yet. So it's relatively new. But I'd love to go get one. I think one of the new handhelds that ICOM released was the 52, or I think it's, no, I'm sorry, ID50A, I think. Let me look that up.
52 is the number. The D-Star one.
No, they just bought a new one, the 50A.
Okay.
Yeah, they've done a 50A, which is 2.5, 1 watt. 0.55 watts and 0.1 watts. Hey, 0.1, that would be awesome for when you're working off a hotspot. That radio would last forever, man.
That's why they put it on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That low. Wideband receive 88 to 174. So that has pretty decent out of band. 475 to 479. Covers the VHF, UHF airband. Probably receive only. Definitely receive only because it's the receive frequencies. FM broadcast receiver, which is kind of nice to have. 500 channels, IPX, 7 waterproofing. It's got GPS built in, just like my last couple D-Star rigs. I still have my 51A, and I still like it.
Did you post a link to this thing?
The eBay purchase or the radio I'm talking about?
The radio you're talking about. Or did you purchase it off of eBay?
No, the thing I purchased off of eBay is a lot cheaper than this radio will be. This one's not. I don't think it's been FCC type certified yet. The ICOM radio.
So is it? You said it's Raspberry Pi based or similar device type.
It's got to be similar.
The is it handheld?
Yeah.
My question. So, I guess what's the operating system it's using?
Probably Linux.
I'm just curious. Like, if Can you change the operating system on this thing and install?
I'll find
out. The soft, like the. I was just curious, like, because if it is a single board system like that, like a Pi or whatever, and they built it to do this, I'm sure it's got to be using.
It's in the Mumble chat.
It's in the Mumble chat. Yeah, I'm just curious, like, if like you could install your own operating system in there.
Yeah, because I'd probably prefer, not that there's anything wrong with OpenWRT, but I would probably prefer PyStar because it's more similar to what I've used before. Plus, PyStar's setup right now is really cool. It's like you go to their website, plug in your Wi-Fi network information, like your SSID and password and all that, and it generates the WPA supplicant conf file that you can just drop onto the SD card. So that's cool. Because it encrypts the password.
They're very up to date.
Yes,
you can practically. I mean, you can get on about anything you want. You know, all in digital modes on there.
Yeah, and this is another one of those devices that, like, if you search for the UVIHJ duplex MMDVM,
and that's it. Actually have two. You have two meters 440 on them.
Yes. Yes, actually, I think you're right on that. Yeah. So that's what it says on the listing here. But let's see. Oh, it uses 18650 batteries. That's cool. So if those go crap out, it's easy to find replacements.
How do you know it runs OpenWRT?
That's what it's saying in the reviews. If you look into more of the details, it does say PyStar, but OSTAR is what the other one is based on OpenWRT. So, and these are all set up so that basically, I guess, you get a web page, I think, that you can go plug in, like, your specifics. Like, I'd have to plug in, you wouldn't have to put the, your DMR ID on the hotspot, because that's on coming from the radio. So, yeah, I'll find out more. It's just probably one of those things that if you... It may, from what I've been reading here and there on this, is that the documentation is kind of crappy. You know, but it's probably easy enough to figure out. But we'll see. I've never seen this one before. And the only reason I even looked for it was I saw somebody posted a picture of this thing on one of the ham radio groups with it all lit up. The nice thing is it has a screen on it. So it tells you what like if you're in D-Star mode, it'll tell you what reflector you're connected to and stuff like that right on the screen. So
that's kind of what I like. And your Wi-Fi password is MMDVM 0000.
Yeah, well, if you go with the default, yeah. Let's see. Unless its listing looks like it's changed. Because when I bought it, it said PyStar, but now it doesn't even list that. Interesting. I bet you it does.
It does still.
Where it does?
Down in the description. Easily play the system for PyStar.
Okay.
I don't know, there's some Chinese to English there, but...
Yeah, there's definitely some English in there. Let's see.
I don't know. This thing's saying it's a MMDVM board over Raspberry Pi 0W with PyStar software installed.
Yeah, so like I said, it's probably, you know, at the very least that you're going to get a W out of there if nothing else works.
Yeah.
The MMDVM board is usually, you can just pull that out. Pull that out and it'll plug into any Raspberry Pi.
Yep.
Because mine originally came with a Pi W.
I just like that this one looks like it's like a nice self-contained device, and it's also self-powering too, so you don't have to hook a external battery up to it necessarily. I mean, I guess you could. It's got the micro SD for charging the whole thing, you know. So if the, because odds are, well, it's only 700 milliamp hour, so that's not, or 7,000, I mean, and that might not last that long. What's a standby time of 10 hours? So, eh.
You get a day out of it if you're lucky.
Probably. So, I mean, and I have those battery banks too. But.
Oh, that's interesting. So,
can you, we'll,
is this
we'll
only what, for listening, or can you also.
No, you can talk with it too.
Talk? Okay.
It's basically so that you can. Like, with. See, that's the thing. Like where Alan lives. All the repeaters are on 20 alpha, I think.
D-Star, a lot of them are, yeah. I don't know if they all are anymore, because I haven't really been on.
Okay.
But at the time, a lot of them were all connected to that.
Yeah. And all the ones in Allen's area were connected to the same reflector, which means, like, repeaters in Jersey, Pennsylvania, and probably New York, I think it was. All use that, you basically all of the, for some reason, all the hams in that those areas all just decide we're just going to stay permanently connected to that reflector, which is useless if you want to connect, like if you want to connect to one of the busier reflectors. There are reflector one, which is, I think it's based out of the, isn't that based on the UK, in the UK, but everybody's on it, so I mean,
yeah.
Well, so, how does that actually work? I'm not very familiar with that.
So basically, you have the handheld radio, or you can use mobile radio too. But you have the handheld radio that encodes the it's AMBE codec, encodes your voice using that, and it's technically a proprietary codec. All right. So once it's digitized, it can transmit it over the internet. Via I'm not exactly sure what protocol it is, but basically D-Star is that's the one that uses AMBE. And then
do you have to give it the address of the repeater you want to use, or does it have that information? Is that like a lookup, and it presents you with that information?
That's set up in the repeater's controller itself. Okay, because that's what will have the connection to the internet if you're just going directly to the repeater. And something like this is the repeater. So you're talking directly to this. Then it'll connect to Wi-Fi, to the internet via Wi-Fi, and then you can connect to any internet, anything that's on the internet. So far as D-Star repeaters, you can connect directly to a repeater. Like, so I can connect directly to one of the repeaters in Allen's area.
Does this thing broadcast?
Yes. Via the internet.
Oh, via the internet. So if it's broadcasting via the internet,
transmits is actually the broadcast is when like you're like more or less like radio, like FM, AM, FM radio. Transmitting is pretty much what this calls, because it does transmit.
It's basically a whole bunch of nodes that are connected via the internet,
right?
And then the hotspot that he's buying will his handheld radio then talks to the hotspot. The hotspot is connected to the other
Wi-Fi.
Beyond that, essentially in D-Star, it's connected to a reflector. There are many other different digital modes, but they're all basically the same. I have an all-star node over here, which is constantly connected to one big, you know, it just broadcasts that, hey, I'm here. So if you have my node number and I have the radio on, you can connect to my node and just start talking to me. You can be over on the East Coast or the West Coast or wherever. And then the connection between the two of these nodes is over the internet.
Correct. Yep. And then
is it always over the internet with these devices, or
no? No, it can be like you can set up D-Star and do what they call a simplex mode, which is basically one frequency. See, the way most of these radios work, the way an analog repeater would work, is you listen on one frequency, and depending on which band you're on, you talk on a different frequency that could be, I think it's what, 600 kilohertz on 2 meters away. Yeah, so and so that's what's called the duplex mode, okay? And that's, this actually supports full duplex, I think. So, but in ham radio terms, whether you're on D-Star or you're on analog, you know, which is FM, you can talk just using one frequency. So we would tune our radios to the same frequency and transmit in on that frequency. And one thing, I can't hear what he's saying because I'm transmitting on the frequency, and then he wouldn't be able to talk to me because I couldn't hear it. You know, so it's more like I talk, then he talks, I talk, then he talks. With full duplex, literally, if you had, like, if you had a radio, you can actually probably listen to yourself back if you wanted to, if you had a radio that could actually do that, or another radio for that matter, which so I then, actually have done that before. But
if I wanted to talk to Alan, I need to know his right. node number. Does he have to send
for
that
this,
to me?
Yes.
Does he have to send, yes. or is there like a there lookup like a that can be done?
You can well, do, yes. For All-Star, there is.
Yeah, for All-Star, there is. I know D-Star, you use a call sign, you're registered to a repeater. And I'm registered to W8CMH, which is our local machine. But that's just how you get onto the D-Star network.
We're currently 55927.
Right. And DMR... everyone gets, like, I have an ID that I plug into what's called, they call it a code plug, because back in the day, that's actually what it was. DMR is basically what, like, the first digital modes that public safety and law enforcement used.
Very business oriented.
And business, correct. Yeah, correct. Yeah, I forgot businesses use DMR too. But now it's, I would say it's mostly exclusively ham radio. And then there's C4FM, which is Yaesu's version of a digital voice mode. So that usually only works on the Yaesu radios. NXDN is one that works on, I think that's Kenwood. And then P25, which is, I guess, an even older protocol. DMR is probably
another public radio.
Yeah. P25 came off of like a public safety kind of stuff too, so I don't know it. I know in our area we do have basically, I think we have everything but P25. I'm not sure about the NXDN. I know we have Yaesu Fusion, which is C4FM, DMR, and D-Star. We have all three of those in our area. But the nice thing, though, because here's the other thing too, is if I'm monopolizing the local repeater to talk on a reflector, but somebody wanted to just chat with the locals here, they couldn't do that, you know, because I would have the repeater connected to the reflector. If I have something like this, I can use this as long as I want on a reflector with no problems, because the only thing I'm monopolizing is this device. So, and that's why it's nice to have one of these, because you can always talk to the same reflectors and stuff like that. You know, when I went to, like, a few years ago, I think it's when we went down to Charlotte for the 10th anniversary, did the session itself. I think Alan was there, but I was driving through Charleston with my DVAP setup that I currently have, and it was just, I had it in a, connected to like one of them anchor batteries, just sitting in the little map pocket on the side of my door, and had my radio, and I was talking with Alan from Charleston over the internet, using the radio and the internet. So
yeah, we were dropping down.
Yep.
We were in like Virginia or someplace like that. I don't remember where.
Yeah, I think you were in Virginia on the way down, and I was in West Virginia, but I missed going to Self this year, but that's okay. I'll probably go next year, maybe. If I hadn't...
Feel free to use my All-Star name.
If I had not gone to York, I might have gone to Self and maybe Murph. Murph's in a few weeks. But I think it's the weekend before my vacation. We're taking a, like, from June 30th through the 5th, taking a little trip to a cabin at a state park, Pike Lake State Park. It's a tiny state park. Longest trail there is 1.2 miles, so it's not that big. But we're probably, I don't know if we're going to go fishing or not. The lake itself, the only kind of motor you can use it is an electric motor to keep the weight down. But most people in there, they either use rowboats or
a kayak.
Yeah, you can use a trolling motor. That would be fine. But and it looks like, at least from Google Maps view, that it has a couple fishing docks. That's probably what we'll do rather than get a boat. Just go out in a fishing dock and see if we can catch anything. I'm sure that lake is stocked because it's just one of those lakes that the Army Corps of Engineers created to help control floods and stuff. So, and if you believe Google Maps, it says there might be an actual pool there instead of having the swim in the lake. But the lake actually has a beach. It's actually on an island in the middle of the lake. So, not a very big island, but it's an island. So, but that's the only place I could find in the whole Ohio State Park system for that weekend. Everybody else was booked by the time I can get the family to decide what we wanted to do. The other things I was trying to talk them into is maybe drive. I was thinking about going to Virginia Beach, but they didn't want to do that because they didn't think it can do it. You know, that there would be too much driving or something. And I'm like, it's not that far away. I mean, yeah, it's probably 8 hours, but I'd drive that. So that's what we're doing for 4th of July. No fireworks for us, unless I buy some, which is the weirdest thing in the world. Because for years and years and years, I lived in Ohio. The only kind of fireworks you can get in a grocery store were smoke-based, you know, and sparklers, you know, or poppets, you know. But now you can pretty much buy fountains and I don't know if they had any firecrackers at Meijer, but they did have some, like, you know, those little fountains you light to put on the ground or something like that. Not to mention the fact the old H.H. Gregg is a phantom fireworks right here in Grove City. But the weirdest thing is, because it's legal to set them off in Ohio now, with caveats, the cities can still say you're not allowed to set them off. And Grove City and Columbus both do that. But guess what? Even when they weren't as commonly available as they are now, they were doing it anyway.
I say, nobody gives a shit about that.
Nope. Well, you know, you'll see people on local Facebook groups bitching about it because their dog doesn't like them, which that's valid. I get it because the dogs that will go nuts. Mine never did. Mine didn't give a crap. But there's dogs that will freak out with thunder, let alone fireworks. So, yeah.
Didn't we have this conversation last time?
Last year, maybe. And welcome.
Hello.
What's up, Joe?
He's able to sneak in for us.
I'm in Florida, hanging out with my dad. Got to see my Aunt Linda, my grandma, my sister. Beat up my nephew.
Terrific.
He needed his ass whooped, so.
Just the uncle to do it.
Yes, he is.
I voted myself in.
Put him off the island. Yeah, I'll say one thing. I'll say about my camp, my trip to Pike Lake State Park. The cabin looks better than the one I went to at Lake Hobe. Because these cabins were all built in, like, you're talking 30s and 40s, but have been modernized, so it's got, like, appliances and stuff like that now. But the one at Lake Hope had, like, the tiniest shower.
Did it have Wi-Fi, too?
No, it did not.
Oh, no! What'd you
do? They don't have a cell phone connectivity down there, either.
Oh.
My oldest would have a meltdown. He had a meltdown today because we had to go out and pick up some stuff that I needed for like my CPAP machine. I'm really like, he's been on his, you know, he hasn't been feeling well the last couple of days. So he's basically been on the iPad for like two solid days. And we're like, no, you can't take it with us. And it was like complete meltdown. It was like, but I can't do it without. And I'm like, dude, you have to.
Your oldest?
Yeah, 7.
Yeah.
Damn, 7 already, Alan. Holy moly.
I know.
My other one's 3. And has learned he can scream. As we find out every freaking morning.
I don't miss that at all.
I do sometimes when somebody brings their kid over and they're all cute and stuff and I get to hang out with and play with other people's kids. And then I remember the best part of that is still when they go home.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind so much, but like I said, he pulls the blood-curdling screams at like 8 o'clock on the nose. It's like he's got a timer or something. And it's like... I'll be looking forward to when he gets out of that phase.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have to beat it out of him. I don't know which, but.
Yeah, I don't miss that. I just get other stuff. Luke's been doing pretty good with his DoorDashing. Although the wife just goes with him. And I actually think she likes going with him to do it. They're learning what days work better than others. Like, they'll try to go out for lunch during the work week. And he usually maybe gets one or two deliveries in an hour. But, like, on Saturdays, it is nonstop. He can probably get 3 or 4 deliveries on a Saturday in an hour. And one thing we found out within the app is, even though you say, hey, I want to deliver in the Grove City area, if somebody orders from a restaurant in Grove City but lives outside of it, like we have one of them crumble cookies places. I don't know if you've guys got those yet.
Yeah,
but they're so good. But they are, man. I mean, I got like a dozen cookies and it was $60 one time. Yeah, but worth it. If I buy them now, I only buy a 4-pack. But and they are huge cookies. But so somebody bought some from there, and he had to drive all the way downtown to deliver them. So into an office building, which so good thing for him is my wife was there, so he parked in the fire lane, and then she ran in and delivered them to the front desk there, you know. And one time he had to deliver to AEP, probably a substation. We'll have like the substations with a connected AEP office sometimes, and I think it's what that was. But yeah, it's interesting. And if anything, I'm hoping that it'll get my wife curious about trying some of the places that she's delivering from. Because trying to get her to try new restaurants is not easy. Like, we got this place called BB Bop. You ever heard of that place, Dan?
No. I don't think I have.
It's like, I would say probably, it's definitely Asian, but it's like a kind of eclectic, because you can get like all sorts of different stuff. So it's not just like Chinese. It's like Chinese, Japanese, and Thai and stuff like that. And it's kind of like done up a little bit like Chipotle and Subway. So you pick what you put on it, you know, or in it. So, but it's decent. I've had it before, but I'm like, you know, why don't we try that? No, I don't want to try that. And I'm like, so what do you want? Freaking Taco Bell. Honestly, we could probably eat a Taco Bell 3 times a week and my wife won't complain. And I don't know why. I'm not saying it's not bad. I mean, it's just, you know, there's better Mexican.
Any worse.
Right.
Well, it's not Mexican food. It's Tex-Mex.
Well, yeah.
And it's technically, it's piss poor Tex-Mex, but it is one of the healthier fast food places that you can eat.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
I will agree with you that I go to any one of these, like, mom and pop
right.
Mexican restaurants around here, and they're fantastic. You know, far right? better. But Taco Bell is still, like,
it's I will that eat guilty the shit out of
Taco
thing.
Bell. I love Taco Bell.
I love Taco like, Bell. Like, my wife doesn't understand why I like Taco Bell. But I enjoy Taco Bell, but it's still, yes. like, it's not great Tex-Mex food.
No.
It's just, you know, food.
And a lot of it's the same. It's just the same ingredients mixed up into different forms, you know.
I bought that for $1.
But, like, my favorite lately has been the...
pumped out of a caulking gun.
The grilled cheese steak burrito thing. Oh.
You ever try and get sour cream on a taco with a butter knife? It's a pain in the ass. I wish I had a caulking gun at home for my tacos.
I actually, you know, you can buy, like, that chipotle sauce they put in the chicken chipotle wrap. You can buy that at the grocery store now. And a lot of the Chick-fil-A sauces, too, like the Polynesian sauce.
That's not Taco Bell.
No. But Taco Bell, yeah. My wife and my son always eat the same thing. And when we order that, I automatically know what to get them. I'll order 6 bean burritos without the red sauce.
Why? And why not the red sauce?
I don't freaking know.
Why would you do that?
I see, and that's the other thing too. When I get that, like if I have a place to deliver it, well, even if I go through a freaking drive-thru, if I get something and it's not easily identifiable, I could accidentally grab one of those things, and they're like so flavorless without the sauce on them. It's like, but that's what they like. Me, I'd like give me some freaking flavor, man. Ugh. The chicken chipotle wraps, they're actually kind of smallish, but they're good. It's got chicken on it, you know, instead of that meat slurry.
Yeah, meat slurry.
Yeah. Or the mixture of beef and TVP. Texturized vegetable protein. See, that's what's funny is I'll eat that, or I'll eat those soy based Boca burgers. I won't even touch one of the Impossible burgers because they just, I hear they're good.
They're not that bad. They're not that bad. They're not a burger, but if you want to throw some maple syrup on them, they're not that bad.
You got to be careful how you cook them because you could dry them out really easily.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. Actually, lately I've been kind of getting a craving for some scrapple.
I have that once a month.
I love scrapple.
It is good.
Yeah, I mean,
Joe doesn't even know what that is, do you, Joe?
No, he doesn't.
I have no clue.
Lips and assholes mixed with cornmeal.
And spices. Yes. Mwah. It is delicious.
It's all the things you just find laying on the floor.
It's like a basically. It's like a rejected pork parts cake.
Yes. Fry that sucker up and put some maple syrup on it.
I'll tell you what. When I was a kid, I had, gosh, I must have been like 9, maybe 10, around there. I had a foster brother who was in the culinary arts at Votech, and one of their things that they had to make was scrapple, and he came home with this like log of scrapple. I don't know how else to describe it. It was about
he made the scrapple itself
half long. Yes. It was about like a foot and a half long.
Okay.
And it was like the size of a loaf of bread is what it was. Okay. And it was really good. And I was the only person eating it, I guess. And that was like eventually like I got through half of it, and after a while it started to get like this green
you just cut that off. It's okay.
Slick on the top.
Slice it up, right?
Yeah, so I just would slice it off and slice it around the like I'd slice off a piece and then you just cut the back. So it went from being like the size of a piece of bread to maybe about like if you would cut the crust off the bread to eat it.
I used, years ago, my first job, I worked in a deli. And I could not stand that stuff because we would get it in like these big logs and basically just slice it in like one-inch pieces and wrap it up and stuff. And it was only actually until just probably a couple years ago before I actually ever ate it. And I was like, oh, yeah, by the way, this stuff actually is good.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. And just
it's like this gray blob.
Yeah, if you know what's in it, and you look at it raw, you're like, man, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, holy mackerel.
The first
good.
Time I was like, what is this shit? And the guy tells me, I'm like, oh, this is never, nobody can eat this crap. I'm like, yes, they do.
It's delicious.
Same people that eat tripe.
Like, I'll eat the crap out of scrapple, but I do not like haggis.
Really? Okay.
Have you had that?
I haven't had it yet, but I am willing to try it. And there's several places in the area that make it. So,
see, I'm not. I don't really like liver.
Come out during the Scottish games in Bethlehem.
Yeah, I don't like liver.
You're getting some authentic stuff.
And haggis has like a pretty strong liver taste to it. Or at least the haggis
then
that
I probably would. I would say then I probably wouldn't like it. But like I said, I'd be willing to try it. Try anything once.
And my neighbor does a Burns night once a year, and they have a haggis and a vegetarian haggis. And
ooh,
I'm like...
Vegetarian haggis? Ooh.
The vegetarian haggis isn't that bad. Like, all it is just, like, the spices with the cornmeal and barley and stuff like that.
Right.
It doesn't have that liver flavor to it. But...
I mean, I like the guts. There is a local place down here, though, that makes fried chicken gizzards. I like that.
See, I got to be honest. Like, Scottish food, not a big fan. once you start getting above Germany, I'm not a big fan of the food. Like, Germany and Austria is about the... Once you start getting up higher, it's like, that's not the cuisine of my people.
I get it.
I definitely get it. Italian and French. And Greek, I'll eat the shit out of that.
Like,
but
I don't want to even think about trying black pudding that's in the full English breakfast. No way.
I don't know. I would try it, but I get the impression that it probably, again, liver flavor in there. That would just throw me off.
Well, and that's one thing. Part of the full English breakfast too is baked beans on freaking toast that I'm like.
Now, I would eat that. I like beans.
It's not even good baked beans. It's like the tomato-y Heinz ones that are just.
It's English baked beans.
Yes, English baked beans. The Haricot beans. Ugh.
I gotta take it back. I gotta wheel it back a little bit. Shepherd's pie, I do like.
There you go.
Fish and chips. If you call that English, I would love the shit out of that.
Ooh, you reminded me. Now that I got a good set of cast iron, I should make a shepherd's pie because that's a perfect thing for the
shepherd's pie. Oh, I love fish and chips.
I actually like both of those. There's a place here called Old Bag of Nails where you get the true English style fish and chips. You know, that serve, you know, right on the table is that bottle of malt vinegar.
On a newspaper?
Uh-huh. And some french fries? Oh.
Like the thick-cut steak fry type?
Yep. Exactly, man. This place is awesome. If you ever come back out here for OLF, we should, you know, it's a ways away from downtown, but it's totally worth it. Yeah. And speaking of which, too, I was just looking at the map of downtown that in that area, right? Our beloved BD Mongolian Barbecue is no more.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yep, I'm disappointed by that.
Do you like soft shell crab?
I try it. I probably never had it, but
has anybody here had soft shell crab?
I have had it, but did not know how to eat it properly, so probably most of it went to waste.
But, yeah, there is no.
It's the blue crabs, right?
Yeah,
so that's blue. Soft shell. You can eat the shell.
Yeah, soft shells. They catch the crabs as they're molting, and you just. So I made soft shell crabs this past weekend, and it's the first time I ever cleaned them myself, mm-hmm. and. It's like super easy, but it's kind of brutal because what you have to do is like the crabs are still alive, and that's the best way to have them. So you just pick them up and you take a pair of kitchen shears and like
stab them in the middle,
right behind their eyes. You just cut their face off. So you want to be careful. You want to be careful because, like, right behind the mouth is the stomach, and the stomach could have some, like, really off-putting flavor in it. So you cut the face off, and then...
Pull the stomach out.
Then you just pull the flaps up on the side, and you push the lungs out, and you snip them off with the sears. And then you can cut the apron off on the bottom. It was super easy, man. But oh my God, were they good? They were so freaking good. Oh, I love crab.
Now king crab,
expensive as hell now.
It is, but I love it. You know, it's like those big ass crab legs. Oh, same thing with Well, actually, you're making me think that, see, tomorrow is my bachelor's night because Luke's bowling in a league and he leaves before I even get off work. So I just take that night and I get whatever the heck I want for dinner. Maybe I might have to go order some way down yonder. Maybe a shrimp po' boy or something. Oh. Plenty of Louisiana hot sauce.
Well, Joe. How far are you from Mississippi in Louisiana?
Yeah, there's
He's in Florida.
No, from where he lives in Texas.
Okay.
Like,
Really far. Really far.
I was just wondering if crawfish are kind of.
Yeah, it's like a 6-hour drive. I'd say like 600 miles.
But do you get crawfish down in your area? Or is it out of range?
We're not really coastal. I mean, crawfish, no.
But they mostly come from Louisiana, Mississippi, and the swamps. And like,
there's some restaurants that I can hit up that'll have like New Orleans style food, and I can get crawfish there. I can get gator there, and cooked up right. But no, in most places you're not going to find a whole lot of crawfish.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I mean, we get crawfish up here, probably from Mississippi, but it's cheaper just to order them right from
right. Like,
from Mississippi. It's a lot cheaper.
And that's probably where they're like,
so good too.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, we're about 400 miles away.
Yeah, I don't know about getting crawfish, fresh crawfish here, but I know that way down yonder does have like crawfish etouffee.
Yeah, you can get them shipped to you overnight.
Yeah,
it's but you gotta like, if you're gonna do it, if you want the really good prices, you're talking like, you know, 30-40 pounds. Is when you start getting the decent, you know. I don't know how much it is now. I was like $7.99 a pound, and I got 80 pounds of it. That was kind of a mistake, man. Because this guy I worked with from Mississippi, he'd do a crawfish boil, he'd get like 80 pounds. And
there you go.
We would just tear the shit up all day long down there, and it was great. And I did that up here at my place with my neighbors, and like most of them were like, I don't know about this. It's kind of weird. They were weirded out.
They tried it.
I mean, it was good, but they didn't eat 80 pounds of crawfish. I had a lot of crawfish left over. I did my part, but you know.
But see, that's when you strip out all the meat out of them suckers and make some etouffee.
Yeah, it was a lot of work to do that, though.
Oh, I know.
It's not.
That's why I won't make it.
It's like, oh. No, but it was good.
It's like I want to do some salmon on the grill, but then I ask my wife, if I buy a big piece of salmon, will you even try it? And she's like, no. So then I'm like, well, if I buy it and make it, it's gonna all go to waste. Now, granted, I can eat a lot of salmon.
Does she not eat fish at all?
Not unless it's better to deep fried. Now, granted, that's delicious. But but so it's just like take a piece of salmon and just, you know, put some lemon like pepper. Steak. Yeah, I mean it's good. It's
awesome. Why don't you just get a piece of salmon and cut it up and freeze?
Yeah. I guess they could do that, because they got these super huge ones over. I don't know which salmon it is at Sam's Club. I'd have to look at the label directly, but I know they have these big, huge pieces of it over there. It's relatively affordable. It's not god-awful expensive, but it's also the other thing, too. Like when I buy steaks, I don't buy those at Sam's Club either, because they usually cut them too thick. Like an inch and a half thick. It's like, yeah, I'd rather, you know,
butterfly.
Yeah,
come down the middle, you get two steaks there.
Yeah, you can do that, but you know, again, that's work. And I only really need like, I don't need like, I think those packs also are
cut it in quarters, and then you're good to go.
I think there's like 4 or 5 steaks in that pack, and I only really need 3, you know. But they did come out wonderfully. You
have another one for bachelor night.
Yeah, there you go. But no, the other day I did some on the grill, and they came out just perfect on the pit boss. I just Google it every time. I don't ever remember how I cook the damn things from one time to the next. But I always use the same webpage, so I guess I should probably bookmark it. But it comes out so good. And I'm trying to remember what seasoning I put on last time. Kinder's Steakhouse Butter Seasoning. I put on it, and that came out wonderfully. I liked a lot of the Kinder's products for grilling. Yeah, my grill has Wi-Fi, And it is actually quite handy to have. Because you can use it, like, if you're cooking, like, a big roast or something, you could check the temperature from inside the house.
Need Wi-Fi for that?
Yeah, Wi-Fi grill.
There you go.
It's a point where there's just too much of that.
I love my Pit Boss. You know, that's the best grill purchase I've made in years.
Just set it and forget it?
Well, basically, yeah. Like, if you're just smoking a roast or something, yeah, that's all you got to do, really. Is you set it up and forget it. I mean, you can check the temp. You can raise the temp and lower the temp all from the phone app. But, you know, that's, yeah, basically what you do. Unless you do something like a steak or something, or hamburgers, you know. The hamburgers, I like to put them on smoke mode for about 30 minutes before I actually turn up the heat to sear them. But those come out good. And you can buy I generally use just the wood pellets, but you can also buy charcoal pellets for any of the pellet grills too. And there's some people that will take, like, they'll do like a 1-to-1 ratio of the wood pellets and the charcoal pellets. Why? I don't know, but I just use the wood ones. It's easier. Technically, I could get like if I'm doing like pork or something, I can get the applewood pellets, which would go good with the pork. But I just use the same stuff usually for everything, and then I just make sure I season it. I just want it for the smoke flavor. 100 times better than cooking on a propane.
Now, how much fuel does yours use when you're smoking something? It's pellet, right?
Yeah, I get like a 40-pound bag of pellets at Sam's Club for about, I think it was about $15.
Okay. And how long does that 40-pound bag last?
Oh, many, many cooks. You know, I haven't done a super long. I mean, I think the longest cook I've done is 8 hours, and the bin on the grill has. I've not completely ran it flat yet. In one cook, so. Grilling, you know, it takes very little. I mean, a lot of times, like, if I fill it right up and I'll grill some hamburgers or something, and then after I always do, like after I do the hamburgers, because I always like to throw the cheese on last minute and then close the grill, and then I'll go in to get the plate, and by the time I come out, the cheese is melted. There's always a little cheese stuck on the grill, so I'll turn that heat way up. Burn that stuff off, and then I'll turn it off. And I never clean the grates. Almost never. Maybe every fourth or fifth cook, I'll clean the grate off. But in the insides, I will pull out the it has like a heat deflector that goes over the burn pot. So I'll pull that off. And the sear plate off too. And I have a wet dry shop vac. I'll suck out all the ash out of the bottom of it. And then scrape the with the heat deflector and the sear plate off. I don't take those inside and like wash them in the sink or anything like that. I just scrape it off, suck up all the dirt and stuff, and then put them back together. Stays nice and seasoned that way too. And I'm debating too, because I have a grill but I'm debating on getting one of their dedicated smokers. Because then that way I can smoke some stuff and grill some stuff at the same time, you know? But I don't know. It's almost always just us anyway, us three, so it doesn't really pay to do a big book. Can't eat it that fast. And yeah. I was gonna grill some burgers this past weekend, but it rained all day. That's the one negative with that, is because you have to have electric for the pit boss. Cooking out in the rain like you could on a propane or a charcoal grill, not really a good thing to do.
Well, do you empty, since you're using pellets, you empty your hopper in between?
Nope, you probably I never should. No, nope, what I do. Because
pellets will suck up water.
Yeah.
To get moisture, well, which causes them
the to key to that. Well, the key to that, though, get a cover.
they do get moisture buildup.
And then what ends up happening is,
yeah, you will eventually. Well, I have the same problem with the stove. Okay. I bought some that were either really old or had gotten wet, and you know, even though they look like decent pellets, what ends up happening is as soon as they hit the auger, they disintegrate.
You're
not pulling anything through.
Right. I do two things with my pellets. One, I will pour that whole 40-pound bag into a nice paint bucket with a lid, which is a water. Yeah. It's a water tight lid. Yeah. So I put in that, and I keep them right out in my screen room. So they're not directly getting rained on. The top would get rain on it, but it would not go into where the pellets are. And for the grill itself, I just make sure that I cover it every single time. I never leave it sit in the rain.
Okay. I've never had
a problem yet.
Pellets is something to be aware of, you know.
Right.
I got some experience with that one since I go through two tons a year, so.
Yeah. Well, my brother and my dad both have them, and I consulted them and I asked them what do they do, and I'm doing the exact same thing, and I've never had a problem. I've heard people I'm in the pit boss groups, I have seen people where they had to tear the auger out and clean it out, you know, but I've never had a problem. It's almost 3 years old now, so. And it looks better too than a 3 year old propane grill where you don't put the cover on it.
It all depends on how you take care of stuff, but
right.
I just like I said, I know that pellets are prone to picking up moisture,
and
then they don't work quite as well.
Probably right around the end of the season, I might see if I can get a different cover, because it just gets sun faded and stuff. And I also might think about I've never completely drained it. I usually just keep filling it, and it's not a problem. Or something else I was thinking about.
If you let them run out and then get them in there with the top back.
Right.
And definitely clean them out really good.
Yep. No,
especially down around the auger. Even good pellets, it'll shred the pellets at the
right
spot, and eventually that stuff all builds up.
Yeah. No, now I remember blankets for it, for the winter. So if I wanted to do some meat in the winter, like I still got turkey in the freezer. I'm not sure if I'm gonna make it during the summer. I probably will, but before I do that though, I need to get this is a 13-pound turkey, and I'm probably going to spatchcock it before I put it on the smoker, so it cuts down on the time.
Not enough about that kinky sex left there, dude.
Yeah. And to do that, I need to get a new pair of kitchen shears because the ones I have are pretty much shot. So you can snap the bones in that turkey to lay it flat. But we'll see. That's one I have to plan for. You know, get it out of the freezer in time to get it thawed, stuff like that. But I did a pork loin a few weeks ago and it came out excellent. So well, see, you got two little ones that love the chicken nuggets.
Yeah, pretty much. They get chicken nuggets and mac and cheese. They're going to turn into nuggets and cheese.
And then you try to get them to eat some vegetables.
Knock on wood so far, that hasn't been too bad. Give it time, but...
Yep.
All right, gents.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock.
I'm logging out. I need some coffee.
Damn, it's time to go to bed, Alan.
Yeah, it's too late for coffee.
No, I drink coffee at night all the time.
Yeah, it helps you go to sleep. It really does.
Hey, and now you don't have to be up in the morning. You can work some HF in the middle of the night when the band's open.
Yeah, I know. I have so many things that, like, you know, the problem is, you know, you say that there, but I spend a good portion, not as much as I did before because I realized I had to back off, but it's, you know, you go through the emails for, you know, is this job, just as, you know, all the different job ones that get sent. That takes, you know, a long time. I got off of one list. It took me like 3 times to like unsubscribe from it because I don't know where the hell it was coming from. But my job hunter, I mean, talk about spam. I looked one day and they were literally sending me an email like every 5 minutes for the entire day.
Oh, that's crap.
The damn thing was, is they were all the same fucking things. They just rearranged them. It's like they only had 10 fucking jobs, but they sent them all day long. And so that's like one site that it keeps popping up, you know, because people link to it. And I'm like, you know, no, I'm not even going to give you my email to, you know, I'll pass on that job just because I have to give you an email first.
Right.
And that means I'm going to end up with all this spam shit again. But well, you know, I spend that in the morning, and, you know, most of my mornings are taken up with just, you know, looking for shit to do. You know, looking for jobs and shit. I try to get at least one a day at least. There. But
like my favorite is I don't know if I have, I'd have to go look at my LinkedIn profile. But every once in a while, I'll get a LinkedIn profile that says, oh, you look like you're a really good fit. Oh, I got this Oracle application administrator, and I'm like, yeah, not really.
Oh,
For Ab initio. I hate it.
I get one that comes up at least once a week in those emails on it for a vice president for Calvin Klein underwear. I'm like, For one, not that there's anything wrong, where in my resume does it say I'm gay? And two, it's like, where in my resume says anything about clothing?
Right.
You know, and, you know, it's, you know, the problem is having engineer in there. I'm not that type of an engineer. I don't design things. Just engineer just came along with my job title. And that's just basically because I was there for so fucking long. But, you know, the amount right. I got one for a nuclear engineer the other day. I'm like,
really?
Yeah, you probably do not want me doing nuclear engineering.
That's even crazy.
Even if you're dumb enough to hire me in the first place.
Well, I'm sure they train you, but... Let's see. Okay, he's reaching out to me in hopes to introduce himself today. I notice you have some great experiences in application admin. I'm currently looking for someone who would oversee and support the day-to-day operations and management of our clients' The Oracle. Okay, they need to rewrite go back to English class. Of our clients, the Oracle Financial and Supply Chain Environment. You'll serve as system admin for the suite of finance, procurement, supply chain for Oracle ERP cloud applications. You know, and they always want to call you, and I'm like, you know,
I had one guy call me last week, because I put a couple job applications out, and like one was San Diego, and I forget where the other ones were. Like, there was one was Apple, and I forget what the other company was, Nokia, or I don't remember who it was.
Right.
I put so many of them in there, they're all just like one name right now. And I got somebody calls me back, so I'm like, oh, okay, well, let me, you know, one, I didn't pick up the phone initially. I heard it, but by the time I got to my phone, because I don't have it attached to me anymore, I missed it. So I listened to the message, and I couldn't understand anything. Basically, the only thing I got out of the entire message was something about email. So I was like, okay, I went in, I looked up the email, and it was from the same guy. I was like, okay, it's a good job, but it's not anything that I can do. This guy just triggered off the fact that I had Vixel in my application, and he's automatically going, oh, you're a designer. So I called the guy back, and it was, I felt bad for the guy, but I didn't want to say anything because, you know, you have to be able to, just in case this guy does find something. But he basically was on a headset mic, and I could tell this, with it pushed up against his cheek. Because all I heard was...
Yeah, that guy called me.
And the Indian, you know, right. Indian would...
I swear.
I can understand his accent. But he's, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. I said, right now, and finally I was like, you sound like you're talking to me from the other side of the room. And then all of a sudden I heard the click of the phone being picked up. And then I talked to him, and it was like, you know, 30 seconds later, I'm like, yeah, it's a great looking job. I said, but I'm not qualified for it. You know, I'm not going to, you know, put up with a job that I don't even know how to do just because you keyed off of something in my resume that, you know, just not what I do. But it was like, yeah, I mean, that was like the worst call that I've had. Like, yep. You know, just take the damn thing out of your cheek.
But the other thing I'll also lead off with, too, with a lot of these recruiters, especially since I'm not hardcore looking, is I'll say, well, I need at least X amount of dollars, which is going to be 10 to 20 more than I make right now. And that usually is enough to make most of them go away because they're not anywhere close to where I want to be salary-wise.
Nothing I am looking at would be close to where I want to be salary-wise, but I'm going to be at a point where it's like eventually I'm just going to have to take something. I got 10 more
Alan
years.
Work.
I got to put up with 10, you know, 10 more
Alan
years
working
something.
At the Lowe's.
No, I'm trying not to do this. I'm trying to stay... You know, out of like, you know, I've got like three Amazon warehouses up here. That's, you know, I'm trying to get out of that type of stuff. I don't want to do that. And I'm, you know, like I even went back to like my old company because they have an office in Easton. And, you know, I know more or less what they do. But the problem is like, you know, their max salary, which luckily they actually put them in there, is $2,270.
Yeah.
You know, for operators and stuff. And I'm like, oh, you know, damn, I was making $2,270 28 years ago.
Right.
Not that I want to, you know, brag and say I was making a lot of money because I wasn't making a lot of money, but, you know, I that's like a range that, like, I don't really want to go back to. I mean, it would be pretty inconvenient. It's literally 10 minutes away. I know what they're doing. It's basically the bell rings, you push the button. Bell rings, you push the button again.
Yep.
You know, I can... You know, if it was more money, I could push myself down to that without any problem at all. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But and plus, I get back my health insurance and stuff, which is, you know, the other thing that's killing me.
You might want
another month. I could do Cobra, and that's going to be $1,500 a month.
You might want to check out Intel and the plant they're building here in Ohio.
Yeah, the problem is it comes back to it's a moving thing. I really don't want to move unless I absolutely have to.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know whether they'd have remote positions that would work at that, like where that would be your home office or not. But yeah, I know they're not done being built, not done building it yet. But
yeah, that's a fab they're building, which is, you know, like I said, I don't, you know, usually fab stuff, you're getting your stuff from other companies already, and you're just producing it. Which, like I said, it's operators and technicians, and, you know, it's not the putting myself below doing any of that. It's just I can't see that the money's going to be much more than the 2070 that they're doing here. That's the high end.
Right.
They're opening up at like 1475. I'm like, dude, I can go to Wawa and make more.
Right, and that'd be a lot less hassle.
And I don't have to do a 12-hour shift there.
You can celebrate Hoagie Fest all the time.
Damn right.
Hoagie Fest.
And, you know, the only other technician or engineering job they have, you know, it's like the first thing on there is PhD. And I was like, okay, the reason you guys haven't filled that from September is you're looking too high up.
Yep. Yeah.
PhDs don't want to work for the price that you're paying them.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
for sure.
I can't really go back to that one either, so.
Yep.
We got to wrap this up. Bedtime.
I sure do.
Yep.
All right, thank you, everybody. We'll see you again in a week. Good luck, Alan. And
thank you.
Enjoy your
good night, everybody.
Your turkey,
thanks,
Joel.
Thanks for listening.
Joe, have fun with your father.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I am short.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. Wah, 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 wah,
wah. Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, I'm going to stop the recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
Good night, Joel.
Did I even not start the recording on this one? Why did I even turn that on?
Smooth booth, XX.
No show. Here we go. No, I had two other. I had my main.
Nah, he always has.
It was the second backup, and I started up, but I didn't start to record.
And that, we don't have to have it on the show, but like my 3D printer, new one. I had a failure. I think I might have talked about it, but it basically I had the whole hot end encased in PLA.
Oh yeah, you were saying something about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's working now, though. We're doing much better now. I bought the an extra sprite extruder, which is exactly the same ERT that it has on it, except for the front of it says Ender. Big deal, I don't, you know. And I also bought just the heat block and the heat break, and which is available. That's like $26, and I ended up, once I cleaned up all the PLA, I was able to at least get it off of the extruder and clean up the one part, bottom part of it. And when I got the new parts, everything went together not real nice. And it's working just fine. Now, just don't be a dumbass and you know, if you see nothing on the plate and you started it, make sure you check the hot end first and see if there's a blob of goo on it. I think what happened was...
Dan, start the show.
Yeah. Started too late, man.
Then get started.
Yeah. Who knows if Joe's going to be here. I don't know. He said he's at his grandma's.
Yeah, I was just double checking. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Southeast Linux Fest posted all their stuff on the YouTube.
God damn.
Yeah.
Wait, just what?
Go to their the Southeast Linux Fest was last weekend, and all of their stuff's up on YouTube now from last week.
I'm going to take a look at it. I don't know that I have. Well, I may have them in my feed.
No, that's not what I was goddamning about. I was looking to see if Joe had said anything, and I saw the other thing, which I'm not going to say anything about. Because it's not my place.
What, Pat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, all right.
It might be worth saying something, because then people could say, hey, Pat, I got a job over here for you.
Well, we'll let him bring that up when he can be back on the show.
At least he's got a good severance package. That's good. He's basically got a year.
All right, let's start the show. Oh, it would very much help if I geared up the audio. Oh.
My.
You know what? You know, it's really, I'm having a huge problem these days. Like, more so than I've ever had with touchpads. And just like, I thought I corrected this touchpad, and it keeps reverting back that when I'm in the middle of typing something, I'll just brush the touchpad and it'll just change.
Your mouse goes boo.
It changes the tab or something that I'm on, and then I'm in another window, and I don't know what's going on. And it's happening with my MacBook, too, upstairs when I'm at work. It's like I'm trying to do something, and then it's like going wonky because I'm brushing the wrong thing. I don't.
Fingers getting fat, man.
Man,
you're getting old.
Yeah, speaking of that, man, sometimes I have tough problems texting. I'm like hitting R's instead of E's or S's instead of A's all the time with the. And I'm like, what's going on? I never had these problems before.
Time for bifocals, man.
The screen's too small.
Get off my lawn.
Man, come on. What am I looking for here?
Time for the Prevra. That stuff is that we see on TV.
Yeah. I need Bonsai Buddy to help me out. Is that still around?
That's no
oh, hell no.
I need Bonsai
Why
Buddy.
Why would it be?
I don't know. I used to help
extinct
this,
camera.
Back when I was in Pennsylvania, I used to help this guy out. Because he came in when I was working at Staples like a long time ago. And he's like, and I'm like, dude, I'll come out and fix this for you for like $20 an hour. Not the $150, $200 that you're going to pay here. To put in a hard drive. You know, it's like you pay $100 for the hard drive and then they'll install it for you for like another $100. I'm like, by that time you just bought a new computer. And oh no, it wasn't at Staples. I met him because, well, I guess I could say this because the company's not in business anymore. But there was this company that I worked for that opened up, they were out of Wilkes-Barre and they were opening up a shop down in Allentown and they wanted to expand their business. And it was one of those, you don't see them around much anymore, but it was You know what? Hold on. Let me start the show, and then I'll tell you this story. Oh, crap. What am I doing here?
I don't know.
I don't know what I'm doing either. Yeah, so, okay. Did I get that? Okay. Just remember, Joel, if it ain't cheesy, if you want it to go down easy, it's got to be cheesy, right?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. This is... Shit, what episode is this? This is 1008, isn't it? Yeah, all right, here we go.